You know AAA can pull you out of a ditch and jump your battery, but we can also help you save on home and auto insurance, take the hassle out of planning your next vacation, and get you exclusive discounts on entertainment, shopping, restaurants, and more. What are you waiting for? Join today at AAA.com/radio for just $54. Plus, for a limited time, get a second household membership for free.
WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Donald Trump today set to return to the very site where he survived an assassination attempt this summer. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
The former president is set to hold a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, late this afternoon. It's the town where he was shot by a would-be assassin 2 days before the start of the Republican National Convention. Today's event will take place at the same property where a gunman's bullets grazed Trump's right ear, killed an attendee, and wounded several others. The Trump campaign says the former president will be joined by running mate J.D. Vance, SpaceX and Tesla CEO Elon Musk, and several Pennsylvania law enforcement officers. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Stocks rallied after a surprisingly strong U.S. jobs report on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up by 341 points, and that set its own new record high. This is SRN News.
Mark Levin doesn't believe the media cares.
We've ever had a candidate for president of the United States that in 60 days had two assassination attempts against him. And the media go on and they say, we're not responsible. Our effort to dehumanize Trump, what's the big deal? He's Hitler. And they just keep at it and keep at it, keep at it. Do the rest of the media outside of this program and conservative talk radio on Fox, do they give a damn if this man's assassinated or not?
Mark Levin, weeknights at 8 on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent Radio.
Get ready to laugh the night away with Dry Bar Mastermind Chad Thornsberry. Chad takes the stage at Celebration Church in Lakeville for Clean Comedy Night November 14th, presented by GTS HVAC.
I had to fly out one time. It was one of those really small Cessnas, like those 8-seat planes. And we're in a line. I hear the woman in front of me say 140. Now it's my turn. I walk up there and she said, well, how much do you weigh? We base boarding the plane according to the passenger's weight, so that way the wings stay balanced. I like calculate all the lies that everybody else is telling. I probably weighed 175. Yeah, in high school you weighed 175. So finally it's my turn. Like, Mr. Thornberry, how much do you weigh? Apparently 844 pounds.
Whether Chad is talking about marriage, teaching, or kids, he'll keep you laughing through it all. Joining the ticket this year is Midwest comedian David Harris. Tickets are $9.80 to match our station. That's right. Tickets are less than $10. Visit am980themission.com to get your tickets today.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Since your child spends most of their day at school, it's important to consider the influence a school has on their life. In a recent national survey, more than 70% of educators said that students misbehave more now than before the pandemic. Christian schools work to foster kindness, respect, and responsibility every day. Would you like a Christian education for half price? Check out schools like Foundations Christian Academy, Laurel Community School, and Heritage Christian Academy on TwinCitiesTuitions.com to apply for half-price tuition today.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as a dollar a day. call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-901-5563. 800-901-5563. 800-901-5563. That's 800-901-5563.
If it was 1990, you'd be listening to your favorite radio station on a bulky boombox that burns through D batteries faster than you can say, "You've got mail." Thankfully, it's the 21st century, and there are much better alternatives. For example, just ask Alexa to tune in.
Alexa, play the Patriot Minneapolis.
It's time to throw out that old beeper and get with the times. Listen to your favorite AM 1280 The Patriot hosts in high quality with Alexa and Amazon Echo.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
This is Open Your Eyes Radio with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Kerry Gelb, and welcome to Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio. Please listen as we discuss the newest information in the world of health, nutrition, and sports every Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Central Time on AM 1280 The Patriot. Also, please share your thoughts by emailing me at drkerrygelb@gmail.com. That's drkerrygelb@gmail.com, and visit my new website, wellness1280.com, where we have all guest links, Wellness 1280 information, and previous shows. Wellness is taking over the Patriot Airways for the next hour. Sit back and enjoy my interview with Dr. Robert Lufkin. According to the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors, nearly 60% of adult Americans have at least one chronic disease, and 42% have more than one. Despite this staggering number, many treatments only address the symptoms, not the root causes of these diseases. Today's guest, renowned physician, Dr. Robert Lufkin, MD, is on a mission to change that. His passion is to educate both the public and fellow physicians about the underlying metabolic causes of most metabolic diseases. Dr. Lufkin is also the author of the eye-opening book, Lies I Taught in Medical School. In this groundbreaking work, he exposes the misinformation and outdated practices that have shaped medical education, emphasizing the urgent need for a root cause integrative approach to healthcare. In addition to being a practicing physician, Dr. Lufkin has authored over 200 peer-reviewed scientific papers and 14 books available in 10 languages. His weekly video podcast and social media posts have garnered a following of over 400,000 people worldwide. Dr. Lufkin, welcome to Open Your Eyes Radio and podcast with Dr. Kerry Gelb.
Hey, Kerry. I'm a huge fan of your work and the show. It's a pleasure and honor to be here today.
I'm so excited to have you. I love your podcast. You're so calming. I listen to you. It's like being in a therapy session. You just calm the room. You're just amazing. I have to ask you this question, and I'm sure you've thought about this many times. You know, I look at pictures from the people on the beach from the 70s, and now I see people on the beach down here in Florida in the year 2024. What has happened to people?
Wow. That's a great observation. You know, there's just a lot more people with obesity on the beach. And that reflects that today, you know, as you pointed out, most Americans are either overweight or obese. So something happened in the 80s and 90s. And there are a number of things that we've done to ourselves that are, you know, possible culprits. But whatever we did, we need to address it because our society can't sustain this and the healthcare profession can't go on like it is now.
So if you were going to put your finger on a couple of things why we became obese, what would it be?
Well, I think two things I would name that are first and foremost for me. First of all, in the seed oils have been around. Seed oils are ultra-processed oils that don't occur in nature. They started in the 1900s as submarine lubricants, and machine oils, and they were ultimately repurposed as foods. But in the late 1980s, 1990s, McDonald's and Burger King made the decision to replace their fryers, their frying machines, instead of healthy beef tallow, which was sort of the standard, they replaced it with inexpensive but unhealthy seed oils. And this rippled all over the world. Till today, it's very difficult to find anything that's not fried in seed oils because they're much cheaper. And the problem is the seed oils break down, as your audience may know, into many toxic things that have downstream influences. So that happened in 1990. In the 70s and 80s, something else happened. There was a development of the junk food industry really took off, and it was propelled by seed oils, but also by the discovery or the development of something called high fructose corn syrup. Before that time, Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all, you know, all confections were made with cane sugar, which was fairly expensive, and it also tended to crystallize, so it crunched when you ate it. High fructose corn syrup is essentially made from corn, which is subsidized by our farm bill in the federal government. So it's actually artificially inexpensive, just like the seed oils. So it became much cheaper than sugar to use, and it famously, again, Coca-Cola and Pepsi switched their formula to high fructose corn syrup, and it spread across all the junk foods. And interestingly, there was a new disease that happened that occurred in 1980 that had never been seen before. It's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and it's now the number one liver disease in the United States, and it's the number one cause of liver transplants in women, and the number one cause of liver failure, and approaching transplant, the number one cause in men as well. And something happened to cause that about that same time. So whatever's going on, seed oils and high fructose corn syrup are high suspects in my list. And, you know, I talk about some of the reasons why in the book.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned seed oils. My good friend, Dr. Chris Kenobi, who wrote the book on seed oils, I interviewed him, and he has incredible research, and he's a really good researcher. And he's gone back, and I'm sure you know this, before the 1900s, all these chronic diseases, you know, cardiovascular disease, stroke, cancer, things that are important to me, what I deal with a lot, macular degeneration and diabetes, were very, very rare, if were even discovered at all. And once the seed oils started and the processed foods, they all run together. And that's when we saw this explosion of these chronic diseases. So, I mean, you know, so yeah, I mean, the worst seed oils, you know, soy oil, peanut oil, cotton seed oil, all these seed oils and vegetable oils that they put in our food. When I eat, I'm sure you do too, Dr. Kenobi, the first thing I look at is I look at those labels. If I see any kind of processed oil, any kind of vegetable oil, I'll stay away from it. But let me ask you, when you're cooking yourself, what kind of oil will you cook? Will you use coconut oil? Will you use avocado oil? Will you use butter? What will you use?
Yeah, and olive oil at low temperature as well. All of those are good, but seed oils are absolutely off my list. I avoid fried foods altogether. Salad dressing, you know, at a restaurant, or even, you know, anything you buy at home is full of seed oils. But it's hard for people because you look at what should be trusted organizations like the American Heart Association, and on their website they say canola oil, which is a seed oil, it's a corn oil, is heart healthy and good for you because it lowers cholesterol. It does lower cholesterol, but it does a lot of other worse things, in my opinion. But all this confusing information, it's hard. What's somebody to do when they get these mixed messages from so many different trusted sources?
And there's a lot of mixed messages. You know, canola oil, also called rapeseed oil. I forgot to mention that. That's one of the worst ones, and it's genetically modified. So, you know, I certainly stay away from that as much as I can, because I want to make sure that I don't want to get in one of these chronic diseases. And I know that's one of the reasons you wrote the book, is because you had some diseases that could have been chronic and you turned it around.
Yeah, absolutely. In the book, I'm very open about four chronic diseases that I came down with, and I was prescribed medicines for them. And that was really the genesis of the book, that after starting to take the medicines, I eventually was able to change my lifestyle and reverse them to the point that I didn't need to be on the medications at all.
I mean, that's terrific. We're coming up to a break. This is Dr. Kerry Gelb. You're listening to Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio on AM 1280 of The Patriot. I'm speaking with Robert Lufkin, MD. His book, Lies I Taught in Medical School. And we get back after the break, he's going to tell us about some of those lies. Dr. Lufkin, we'll be right back.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
We're back with Dr. Robert Lufkin, MD. His book, Lies I Taught in Medical School. So I love the title, and I want to get into it a little bit. But before the break, we were talking about some of the chronic diseases that you had that made you write the book. So if you could go into just a little bit of detail in those diseases. And were you overweight? Did you have metabolic syndrome? Was your cholesterol high? And did you have gout and all the things from eating the rich foods, the high fructose corn syrup? Was that what happened?
Yeah, I was essentially minding my own business. My whole career I've spent as a medical school professor, teaching, doing research, and practicing medicine. And everything was going along fine when I came down with these four diseases, which originally I thought, and my doctors, many of them thought, were completely separate. One was an arthritis called gout. Another was the abnormal blood lipids, including LDL cholesterol. The third was hypertension, which today 50% of Americans have this high blood pressure. So it's very, very common. And then the last one was glucose abnormality that was pre-diabetes. So and I was given a medicine for each one, and I was told, you know, I would have to take this for the rest of my life. And I said, well, what about lifestyle? And they said, well, that really doesn't work. You know, get used to taking the medicines. And at that point, you know, I had two young children. Out of self-interest, I knew it wasn't going to end well. So I you know, dove in and realized there was a lot of research and breakthroughs that had been done that I wasn't aware of. And my colleagues, many are still not aware of.
And what kind of exercise did you do also?
Yeah, I mean, I was not overweight. I had sort of a dad bod, but not clinically overweight. Exercise, you know, I played volleyball, rode my bike. I was, you know, fairly active. So, you know, that I thought I was doing everything right. I mean, my mom was a dietitian, so I was raised following the nutritional guidelines and the food pyramid and what we were supposed to eat. But as it turns out, that's really not the healthiest thing to do.
And we're going to talk about the food pyramid, but you mentioned about Gary Taubes that you were influenced by one of his books. Was it the Why We Get Fat or the Rethinking Diabetes book? And tell me about how a journalist could actually influence a physician.
Yeah, I mean, I love Gary. He's a friend, actually. He lived in Santa Monica with me when I was back when he was writing. He used to write science books. He's a science journalist, and he would write about Nobel laureates in physics and how the science was sort of messed up. But then he got into nutrition and health nutrition science, and he said, wow, this is even more messed up as far as the statistics and everything. And he began writing his first book in the area, which really changed my thinking and so many people's thinking. It was called Good Calories, Bad Calories. And that was what really got me going. But he's written several other books that you mentioned since then, and I highly recommend him. He's a brilliant guy.
You know, to go along with the title of your book, which is amazing, trust in doctors in the year 2020 was about 71%. If you ask the population, they say we trust the doctors. Now in 2024, it's down to 40%. What do you think has happened? And it's kind of upsetting that patients don't trust us as much as they used to.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I think, is that these chronic diseases that you mentioned that are now exploding in numbers, they're getting more and more at younger ages. You know, colon cancer at 30 years of age, half the people are obese or overweight, half the people have hypertension, half people have prediabetes. People are realizing that maybe what they're being told by their doctors, if not out lies, it's incorrect and it's not working. So if I'm overweight and my doctor says just exercise more and eat less, well, we all know that doesn't work. And that's one of the lies in the book. But they're getting these messages for things. Some of them are patently wrong or incorrect, or they're not doing what people say, what the health system says they do. So I think there is a growing trust, with good reason, of the medical establishment, because the medical establishment needs to change, in my opinion. And I'm part of the establishment.
So I always have this quote by William Osler that I love. If you could explain that, and then we could go a little bit further into this.
Yeah, I love that quote. William Osler was one of the most famous physicians. He lived in the end of the 1800s, and he gave one of the greatest quotes about education when he was addressing a group of medical students on the last day of medical school when they graduated to become doctors. And he said, "Gentlemen," and at the time most of them were men, but he said, "Gentlemen, we have a confession to make. 50% of what we've just taught you in medical school is wrong. And unfortunately, we don't know which half it is."
I mean, things change, you know, things evolve.
Yeah, and that speaks to the nature of science, that it's constantly evolving. And what we think is true today we're going to learn, you know, we constantly have to rethink our deeply entrenched beliefs and re-examine things. And that's what it speaks to.
You know, there's also a statistic that 40% trust doctors, but only 18% trust the pharmaceutical companies. But most people, when they go to the doctor, what do they want? They want a medication. They don't want to learn about lifestyle and diet, you know, and I say that, but, you know, I don't think that's as true as it used to be, because when patients come to me, there's a lot of eye diseases that are nutrition dependent, such as macular degeneration, the leading cause of blindness over the age of 55, diabetes, the leading cause of blindness under the 55, dry eye. We see a lot of patients with dry eye. And those three conditions that we see a lot of people with are all nutrition dependent and lifestyle dependent. And when I bring it up to patients, do you want to learn about that? Or do you just want me to give you a drop for your dry eyes, just some medicine? And 9 out of 10 people say, I want to learn about lifestyle. Whether or not they could do it is another thing, but they want to learn it, and at least they want to try to do it. And I think one of the biggest problems with changing your diet is that food, and that we were talking about earlier about why are people so much heavier now than they were in the 70s or maybe even the 80s, but certainly the 70s and the 60s. The food is so addictive. It's so addictive. You know, they have these really smart people figuring out how to make food addictive between the fat and the bad fat and the sugar and the salt. And it's just the whole, you can't eat just one. And it's like that with pretty much all processed foods. And if you do have any tricks how to cut the addiction from food.
Yeah.
We could talk about naltrexone, low dose naltrexone, which might help us, but any other tricks to cut the addiction from the sugar, from the processed foods, before we go into naltrexone?
That's such a great point, because, I originally thought, well, it's just a matter of educating people. If people knew how bad sugar was for them, they wouldn't eat it anymore. But I have educated friends who, you know, they explain it to them, they understand, they get it. The next time I see them, they're pouring sugar in their coffee. And I realized that it's, like you say, it's an addiction. It's not all cerebral. So things that can help community, enlisting your friends, and then activities all the way down to low dose naltrexone. You know, sugar addiction communities are now using that drug to get off sugar addiction. So there's a whole spectrum of things we can use. But I'm realizing, education for many of us just isn't enough. I confess I'm a junk food addict recovering, but I know I can't keep it in the house, because just like an alcoholic probably shouldn't have, you know, alcohol in the house, because, you know, it's a matter of willpower and everything else. So it's not easy. And, you know, like all addictions, it may go back to childhood trauma and the reason our personalities are the way they are. You know, it's very, very complex, but I totally get it. It's not a simple answer for these addictions.
You know, low dose naltrexone, you know, just like the name says, I mean, even though you're a radiologist, if you could explain naltrexone came from and how it's administered.
Yeah, well, I don't use it myself in my practice, but I know it's a pharmaceutical that works on physical addiction for other type, more what we think of more classically addiction drugs. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it works on the dopamine pathways to lower the reward centers, which, if you read Dopamine Nation or some of the books, you can understand how our addictions, our compulsions are driven by these centers. So the idea was that somebody had, and this was fairly recently, they began using it for sugar addiction and junk food addiction, really. Because junk food addiction is really just sugar addiction and like you say, seed oils mixed in too. And junk foods are really, really the problem. But that when this was applied to this, they found people were able to be more successful in getting off these food addictions as well.
Any tricks for people that get cravings at night? You know, they're pretty good most of the day, but once 8, 9, 10 o'clock comes up, they have this, their refrigerator is open and they're raiding the refrigerator and eating cookies and candy and ice cream when they don't eat it during the day.
Yeah, two things. When I started out, I was eating all day long, snacking all night, because that's what my mom, the dietitian, told me to do. It was healthy. First thing I did to get healthy was stop snacking all the time. So I'm basically a lazy person. So when I ate dinner, I brushed my teeth right away, knowing that if I had a snack a couple hours later, I'd have to brush my teeth again. So that got me to stop snacking after dinner. Then gradually
against the break. This is Dr. Kerry Gell for Open Your Eyes Radio. I'm speaking with Robert Lufkin, MD, Lies I Taught in Medical School. His website, robertlufkinmd.com. We'll be back after the break.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
The Caribbean is calling. Dennis Prager here, and I invite you to join me on a Caribbean cruise this November. Imagine 9 days of basking in the sun surrounded by the stunning beauty of a tropical paradise. We'll cruise the vibrant islands of Half Moon Cay, Curaçao, Bonaire, Aruba, and more. Stroll through Curaçao's iconic pastel-colored shops and snorkel in Bonaire's world-class coral reefs. You'll enjoy some of the most delicious cuisine aboard Holland America's Rotterdam, a fantastic destination itself, this ship, with riveting shows and breathtaking views. We'll be joined by a special guest, Sean McDowell, and we'll both share fresh insights. We'll have dialogue on religion, current events, happiness, and our future in America in light of the election. November 29 to December 8th. Secure your spot today by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at PragerCruise.com.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
We're back with Dr. Robert Lufkin. Lies I Taught in Medical School. He's too nice of a guy. I know he doesn't tell lies on purpose. He's out there trying to help patients. I know how he is. He's a great guy. Get his book, his website, Robert Lufkin, MD, with YouTube, his website, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. He's all over social media, and he has one goal, and he wants to help you who's listening to this program. So get his book. His book is great, and he's a really nice person also. So right before the break, we're talking about tricks for people who are gorging themselves at night. And you had a good trick. You brushed your teeth so you wouldn't do it. Do you have any other tricks?
Yeah, one other one. As I expanded the period of time when I wasn't eating or narrowed my eating window, sometimes it's referred to as intermittent fasting, which for me is a great thing. I eventually stop breakfast and then I stop lunch. And now I have one meal a day when my kids get off the bus, get home from school. And I've never felt better. For me, it's great. My brain fog clears up. I have energy and all. But people ask me, they go, oh, come on, how can you do that every day? You know, what don't you just like chew your arm off in the middle of the night? And what happens is, it's interesting, when we fast beyond a certain period of time, your audience may know this, but we switch our metabolism from burning glucose to a more ancestral form of metabolism called ketosis. And when we're hunter-gatherers and we're fasting between a kill, we go into ketosis. And one of the benefits of ketosis is our appetite drops. So during the day, I actually am not that much hungry, and I have more time because I have time that I would eat breakfast, time that I would have eaten lunch, and money that I would have spent if I would have purchased those things as well.
You know, before the break, we talked a little bit about only 40% of the people trust doctors now. And this is, you know, this is a one example. I'm going to give you an unfortunate example, and then I'm going to ask you to put your radiology hat on for a little bit, which I know will be very easy for you. But a friend of mine, he lives in Orlando, and I'm not going to mention any names, but he went to a cardiologist but a holistic cardiologist, integrative cardiologist. And he goes there and he sees the PA and he doesn't see the doctor, and the PA, they have him do all these tests, and he does a CT angiogram, and they do the CT angiogram, and he goes back and still doesn't see the doctor. He can't see the doctor, only sees the PA. And the PA says, well, you may might have to go to the cath lab, but you might need stents. So you go to the cath, we do a catheterization in the office first. If we find something, then we have you come back and we do it again in the hospital. And then we'll give you the stent if you need the stent. Instead of doing it all at once, they want him to do it twice. And, you know, he said, you know, I don't know about that. And they were saying, well, maybe he has SIBO and that could be related to his heart problem. So they decided, okay, instead of doing that, they're going to do AI on his angiogram. So they're going to send it out for the AI program. And Clearly, I think they use Clearly to send it out to. And then he wants to know if he could go to the gym. You know, so he calls up the next day. So he does it Clearly, but they can't give him an appointment to see the physician for a month. He could come back and see the PA, but he can't see the physician, the cardiologist, for 1 month. Okay, so they said that he needs to have, you know, he needs to go to the cath lab before they did the Clearly. So he calls up and he says, I want to know if I can exercise. I have an appointment in a month. You know, and do I need to come in sooner? They said, no, you can't see the doctor any sooner. It's a month. And he does it Clearly. He waits for the Clearly to come back. He calls up to see how the AI came out, because the AI, which I'm going to ask you about, will be able to tell whether or not he give more definitive information if he definitely needs, to be in the cath lab. And he calls up and they won't talk to him. He has to wait the month. He waits the month. He got, which was yesterday. This could happen yesterday. And he's a physician also. He goes to the integrative cardiologist, and he's there. And they go, they call him up before he goes there. They go, the cardiologist, after he waited a month, they won't talk to him. They won't tell him he could work out. So finally he goes, I'm going to get to see the cardiologist today. They call him up the day of, he took a day off from work to see the cardiologist isn't going to be able to see you. He said, but I waited a month. He goes, but he's not going to be able to see you. But you can see the PA. So he's arguing a little bit back and forth. And they say, and he goes, okay, well, the cardiologist may be there. He might be able to poke his head in for a minute, but he's not going to really be able to talk to you. long story short, he goes to the cardiologist's office. The cardiologist is there, won't see him. The PA comes in and says, "Well, you're on the borderline. We have to do an abdominal ultrasound now." So, which he doesn't understand why, couldn't explain to him why. And the cardiologist was there, but doing other things. But went in. I go, "How long did the PA spend with you?" 10 minutes. So the cardiologist never came in. So that's one of the reasons why 40% of the people don't like doctors anymore. And why do you think, now this may be an exception, but why do you think it's evolved into something like this where it's PAs instead of doctors, at least in Florida? I don't know how it is in California. In New Jersey, it's more doctors than PAs. But I'm just wondering, what do you think happened? Why is things like that happening now?
Well, first of all, I have a diagnosis for that problem, if you want.
Go to another doctor.
Yeah, he needs a new doctor. And I'm not sure why he's getting an abdominal ultrasound unless they think he has an abdominal aneurysm. It doesn't make sense from that. But why is this happening? I think the problem wasn't that cardiologists are good and PAs are bad. I think an educated PA who could provide the information and answer his questions and satisfy him is good. You know, no shade on PAs, and they work. But in this situation, it sounds like he or she didn't have any answers. So seeing the PA was like seeing nobody, you know, or the receptionist. So if you're going to have a PA, you need to empower them with the knowledge so that they can effectively make decisions up to a point. And if they can't make the decision, you need to get the doctor in there. But I think the reason is, I think it's economics that are driving it. I think in a perfect world, a PA, if they're paid less, they should be able to spend more time with the patient and then perhaps communicate more complex nuances about lifestyle and, you know, how they can really benefit. If you have a highly paid physician that can only spend 3 minutes, it's hard to have any kind of meaningful interaction at that time. But I share your friend's frustration, and you can imagine, here's a member of the healthcare, you know, practitioner has this problem. What's an average patient to do who, you know, doesn't understand the healthcare system? I mean, it's if he gets jerked around like that, you can imagine, you know, there's no hope for anybody else.
No. So what do you think about the AI for the CT angiogram? How good is that?
Yeah, I mean, AI is a complex word, and you know, there's some of the AI with generative AI and large language models is really magical. The AI that's used on Clearly and similar types of things is a post-processing algorithm that's run on the data from the CTA. In other words, the person has a coronary angiogram, a CT coronary angiogram, and you collect all the images. And then instead of looking at it on the screen with the radiologist or cardiologist going through them, what Clearly does is it segments them and changes the picture, sort of slices them different ways that in many cases can make the lesions much clearer, but it doesn't really add information necessarily, because arguably the information is in the raw data set, but it may make it easier for people to interpret it. But you know, Clearly can add value in complex cases where it's hard to figure out what's going on, but it, by any means, I wouldn't say it's necessary, you know, for an adequate CTA, that you can do a good job just with a good cardiologist or good radiologist interpreting the scan by itself.
So paying the extra $2,000 or $2,500 for that AI may not be necessary.
Yeah, and I don't think it's covered by insurance in a lot of cases. So, and that should be a sign too. Not that everything that's needed is covered by insurance, but a lot of times, you know, eventually insurance companies come around. If this is really going to benefit things, then it may be covered as well.
You know, I want to go, this brings me into the lies, the cardiovascular lies. So one person dies every 33 seconds from a cardiovascular event. There's about 800,000 heart attacks a year. And about 88 million people, maybe 90 million people take a statin. But there has been no change in cardiovascular deaths over the years. So that kind of says, you would think that if statins work so good, that there would be less deaths from cardiovascular disease. So when we get back from the break, I want to ask you about statins. And I want to ask you, there's primary prevention and secondary prevention. And for our audience, primary prevention is just that you have risk factors, but you haven't had a heart attack yet, or you haven't had a stroke. Secondary prevention is taking a statin if you've had a heart attack or a stroke. So I'm talking with Dr. Robert Lufkin, MD, great guy, Lies I Taught in Medical School website, robertlufkinmd.com, and all his other handles, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, etc. We'll be right back.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MiSight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit openyoureyesradio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at openyoureyesradio.com.
Get ready to laugh the night away with Dry Bar Mastermind Chad Thornsberry. Chad takes the stage at Celebration Church in Lakeville for Clean Comedy Night November 14th, presented by GTS HVAC.
I had to fly out one time. It was one of those really small Cessnas, like those eight-seat planes. And we're in a line. I hear the woman in front of me say 140. Now it's my turn. I walk up there and she said, "Well, how much do you weigh?" We base boarding the plane according to the passenger's weight, so that way the wings stay balanced. And like calculate all the lies that everybody else is telling. Probably weighed 175. Yeah, in high school you weighed 175. So finally it's my turn. It's like, "Mr. Thornberry, how much do you weigh?" "Apparently 844 pounds.
Whether Chad is talking about marriage, teaching, or kids, he'll keep you laughing through it all. Joining the ticket this year is Midwest comedian David Harris. Tickets are $9.80 to match our station. That's right. Tickets are less than $10. Visit am980themission.com to get your tickets today.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter, Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot, being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MiSight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit openyoureyesradio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at openyoureyesradio.com.
I'm back with Dr. Robert Lufkin, MD, New York Times and USA Today best-selling author, Lies I Taught in Medical School. His website, Robert Lufkin, MD. He also has a podcast, an excellent podcast. I've listened to it a number of times. And he had Dr. Sidoroff on, who I interviewed last week. So go and check out that interview. So we're talking radiology now, since Dr. Robert Lufkin is a radiologist. I'm going to bother him for some radiology things. So let's talk about cardiovascular epidemiology. Before the break, we said how one person every 33 seconds in the U.S. has dies from a heart attack. About 800,000 people have a heart attack every year, one in five deaths. But the confusing thing to me is about 90 million people take a statin and it hasn't prevented or changed the amount of deaths from cardiovascular disease. So do me a favor, put that square peg in the round hole for me.
I'm just as confused by those numbers as you are, Kerry. A recent study showed that most people who come in for an acute heart attack have normal LDL cholesterol, which is what statins do. They lower the cholesterol. That's their primary mechanism of action. And that's probably why they're so heavily prescribed, because the prevailing model among conventional cardiology and medicine is that LDL cholesterol causes heart attacks, elevated cholesterol. So things that lower it, like canola oil, is recommended by the American Heart Association. And this drug, this class of drugs called statins, very effectively lower the LDL cholesterol. And one reason they're so heavily used is they're one of the few drugs there aren't a lot of drugs you can give for heart disease, and it's the number one killer. So this is one thing a doctor can do, is prescribe a statin. Now, the problem is the LDL cholesterol, although it's a factor in heart disease risk, it's really relatively small effect. And the statin effects, even though they're advertised at 30% reduction in heart disease, heart attacks, it's more like 1%, and that's relative versus absolute risk. And we talked about the statistical alchemy of why that is in the book, but a lot of physicians aren't even aware of it. But even a 1% risk, you know, if it's a number one killer, heart disease, I'll take a 1% benefit. The problem is there are a lot of side effects from statins on the brain. Cholesterol is important in the brain, all our hormones. And when we look at all-cause mortality, that is total number of people who die on statins versus people who aren't on statins, the statin people have a small decrease in the number of deaths from heart attacks, like around 1%. But interestingly, they don't have a change in all-cause mortality. In other words, what does that mean? They die more frequently of other stuff, people on statins. Well, what kind of stuff is that? Well, things like suicides, automobile accidents, you know, strange things that may be related to brain function or something else. But so statins are really a complex issue. And in particular, I think we really have to be cautious about patients who just have risk factors for heart disease. Now, patients who've had a heart attack, and, you know, it's much more complex, much more nuanced, and you know, you need to pull out the stops and try different things. But what I'm concerned about is the widespread use of statins across, you know, the entire population. You know, they're associated with increased risk of diabetes and, you know, lots and lots of side effects. So we take a hard look at statins in one of the chapters of the book.
I mean, does our body really make cholesterol to try to kill us?
Yeah, I mean, we used to say, my mom used to tell me, don't eat egg yolks because of cholesterol. And for a while, people were frightened of eggs. But now we know that dietary cholesterol has no effect on serum cholesterol, no significant effect. So it's okay to eat as many eggs as you want, which are high in cholesterol, because the body will either make more or less cholesterol depending on its needs. So it's such a fundamentally important compound. But I mean, you have to ask the question, heart disease, people were eating a high cholesterol diet all the way until the 50s and 60s and 70s when the low fat diet came. Heart disease and heart attacks took off and began in the beginning of this century. And they took off when smoking took off, when tobacco smokes off. And that's a much stronger effect than LDL cholesterol. But if smoking causes heart attacks, which it does, where does LDL cholesterol come into play with that? Or air pollution also, you know, other factors that affect the endothelium. So heart disease is not as simple as just not eating eggs. You know?
I mean, if people would cut out processed food, do you have any tricks for how people could avoid processed food? Like when they're shopping, and what should they be buying instead of processed foods? I think once you kick that addiction and you eat real foods, eat from the rainbow, different vegetables and meats and, you know, grass-fed meats and organic chicken and turkey, If you could just eat real food and you get hungry, eat a plum or eat a banana, or, you know, rather than eat a cookie.
Yeah, that's a great point. Someone once said that we would all be much healthier if we avoided any foods that weren't available 150 years ago. So that's when we think about it. Think about what your great-grandparents ate, and don't eat anything else. If you're in a supermarket, shop around the margins. That's where the refrigerated shelves are. The central areas, which have no refrigeration, tend to have junk food, processed foods. They're designed to have a shelf life longer than our lives. So avoid those. But read the ingredient list. You know, if you don't recognize the ingredient, put it back. Shorter ingredient list is better. Something without an ingredient list is even best of all with that.
Eat junk food. One ingredient and organic and you'll be okay. You know, I find that when I'm addicted to sugar, if I avoid it for three, it takes me 3 days. And if I give it up for 3 days, I could kick the addiction. Now, I'm sure some people might take longer, maybe some people shorter, but I find about 3 days. Have you ever timed it with yourself?
Yeah, with the sugar, that's the shortest effect. When I made the dietary changes, sugar, you can see the effect in a few days. With grains is another thing I avoid. It can take a few weeks to, you know, 90 days. And then seed oils, depending on how much they're stored in our fat, can take even months and longer. So depending on what you're eliminating, the benefits may happen further down the line.
Again, read. It can be pretty. You can make it pretty simple. Eat real food, and everything with one ingredient. Like I tell my patients, eat like your great grandmother ate, just like you just said. I think it makes perfect sense. How about as far as some of the other lifestyle that's important? Other lifestyle changes, sleep, stress. As you know, we're coming up to the end of this show, and in the next show, I want to talk about calcium scoring and coronary artery calcium score. But as we finish up, I want to finish up with some of the other lifestyles that you try to do and that you have in your book that people can read about that will be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, nutrition is fundamental. It's medicine we put in our mouths every day, but even nutrition's not enough. If we fix our nutrition, but we don't fix our sleep, both quality and quantity will have problems. And also exercise, both mental and physical. And then finally, stress and mindset, how we view the world, how we experience the world. Is it a stressful, threatening, harmful place, or is it a place of love and gratitude?
Gratitude is great. I'm going to do a podcast with Dr. Anna Rosa. I don't know if you met her. She's a radiologist. And in fact, we got 2 minutes left in like 50 seconds. Can you? And we're going to talk about this in the next hour, but a little bit about radiology, about visceral fat, about using radiology to help us determine visceral fat.
Yeah, visceral fat is a bad type of fat. It's a marker for insulin resistance. It has inflammatory effects that are produced by it. And the more visceral fat is fat that occurs around our viscera or our internal organs versus subcutaneous fat, which is fat just below the skin surface. So it's typically like belly fat or fat around the heart. And with medical imaging, as you alluded to, we can see that fat literally in the pictures, in the CT scans, in the MR scans, we can see it. So the imaging can help us visualize that. But if you don't have the CT scan, you can do things like waist circumference and just, you know, your belt size can be a marker for that as well. But we want to get rid of that visceral fat. But when we adopt a metabolically healthy diet and lifestyle, like we talk about in the book, that visceral fat will melt away as part of the process.
Dr. Robert Lufkin, thank you for joining me in this hour. If people want to find out about you, tell us all about where people can find out, learn about you, and get your book.
Yeah, my website is robertlufkinmd.com. And if you're curious, you can go to the website. You can download a free chapter, sample chapter of the book, both in audio and written form. Check it out, see if you like it, and follow me on social media. I'm active there.
Yeah, Dr. Robert Lufkin, Lies I Taught in Medical School. What a great title. What a nice man. He's out there because he wants to help you. This is Dr. Kerry Gelb. You're listening to Wellness 1280 on Open Your Eyes Radio. We'll be back next week with part two of Dr. Robert Lufkin.
when I first came in, it was totally different. I was definitely doing everything with a walker, even a wheelchair for some longer distance things. For shorter distances, I eventually got better at walking, so then I could use a cane.
It's Dr. Kim Tran, DC, host of Health is Wealth Radio. Mandy came in experiencing dizziness, balance issues, and unable to walk on her own.
The more practice with that, I was able to not use the cane anymore. Kind of learned like better ways to stand up and sit down using the things in the back of my neck by the way I'd sit. I would definitely say at least try a chiropractor first.
If you're experiencing pain, dizziness, and balance issues, call me, Dr. Kim Tran, at Minnesota Integrative Health and Chiropractic, located in Richfield off 494 and 35W. You can give me a call at 612-545-5672. No medications, no shots, no surgeries, or find me at drkimtran.com. That's drkimtran.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Motion equals emotion. When you work out at Snap Fitness, you're going to feel better, not just look better. And it's for everybody, every fitness level, no matter how you look or what your goals are. It's not one of those gyms where you feel like everybody's watching you. They're there to support you every step of the way at Snap Fitness. You can work one-on-one with a personal trainer. And what I love, they're open all the time, 24/7, so I can go into Snap whenever I want to. Find the gym closest to you at snapfitness.com. That's snapfitness.com.